In her 2012 review in the New York Times, Anita Gates sets the scene. A handsome man accused of murder is running for his life on the roof of a speeding train. Actually, he's pretending to run across some luggage lying on a mostly bare stage, but the audience buys the illusion with a smile. The 39 Steps was originally a big, serious, classic 1935 Alfred Hitchcock movie about spies between the wars, dashing heroes, and classy dames. There was gorgeous black and white Scottish and English scenery, and that tingling, suspenseful finale at the London Palladium. Then, in 2006, Patrick Barlow turned the story into a farce, opened the show in London, and won the Olivier Award, that's Britain's equivalent of the Tony, for Best New Comedy. 2 years later, Broadway adored it too. Ben Brantley in the New York Times called it throwaway theater at its finest, adding, and that's no backhanded compliment. The plot remains the same as in the film. Richard Hannay, a debonair 37-year-old Canadian bachelor in London, is bored one evening and goes out to the theater alone. A mysterious woman in black, Annabella Schmidt, fires a gun in the middle of a memory artist's act and asks for Richard's help. She tells him about the spies pursuing her and hints at weaponry-related secrets that could threaten Britain's security. Annabella is murdered in the night, and Richard must go on the run to find the leader of the spy ring and clear himself of any connection with Annabella's death. Thus, the train, and the moor, and the chases. During his travels, Richard encounters an extraordinary number of colorful people, as Clown Number 1 and Clown Number 2 playing what has been estimated at 150 roles. Their characters include a milkman, a newsboy, a cleaning woman, a train conductor, theater performers, politicians, secret agents, husband and wife, Scottish hotel managers, traveling lingerie salesmen, and a wide variety of law enforcement officials. Their quick change artistry is a running joke that never gets old. And if they ever seem dismayed by the challenge of changing hats, clothing, wigs, and accents in fractions of a second, their frustration is right there in the script. Words of Anita Gates in the New York Times. Meanwhile, Daniel Freza of the Utah Shakespeare Festival says, the play reminds him of Franz Liszt's opera paraphrases. The goal is to present the well-known tunes and simultaneously to display dazzling virtuosity. And in Barlow's case, he says, to get laughs. And David Lee Simon suggests the play is such a swirl to behold that you almost forget one of the most important themes of the story. A night out at the theater is one of the best ways to escape the troubles of the world. Maybe that's what they had in mind in choosing the 39 Steps as the opening for their season. It's a play adapted by Patrick Barlow from a novel and from the film by Hitchcock. And the 39 Steps, the play version, will open the 2025-2026 season of the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble. The show is running this weekend and next at the Alvina Krauss Theater in downtown Bloomsburg. And we had a chance to speak with three members of the cast, Amy Renee Byrne, Kimmy Maroya, and Aaron White. They are resident artists of the ensemble, and they have much to say and much to do in this production.
BTE, Bloomsburg Theatre Ensemble, this is entering into our 48th season. This is the first show of our 48th season, originally founded by a bunch of young students from Northwestern University in 1978. And we are the next generation of the ensemble. And the goal is that we're artist-led. We are all about rural Pennsylvania. We make our theatre for the folks who live here, and we are for everyone with everyone.
quality professional theater in rural Pennsylvania, as well as arts education and just a lot of really great arts-centric services.
Yeah. And so the 39 Steps, the show that we're doing this season, kicking the season off with, is a show that's a lot of fun.
It's a Hitchcockian farce, if you will.
That's right.
It's a little bit of every Hitchcock film crammed into one kind of madcap romp. It is hands down one of the funniest shows I've ever seen as an audience member. So I'm thrilled to get to tackle it from the other side. But we really wanted to kick off this season with something that felt big and fun and inviting and that could bring some joy to people. I think we're all really hungry for a feeling of community and joy with other people. And this certainly does that. And it also kind of has a nice little message that slides in there between all of the jokes. And I'll let Aaron talk about that because he's good at it.
Yeah, I'm playing Richard Henne, who is the sort of central character in a play that has, they boast 150 characters. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm the only person who plays one character. We are four actors that play a whole bunch of characters, but I played just Richard. And I played this in 2014, 10 years ago. It was one of the first plays that I did with BTE, 11 years ago. And I was a very different person back then, and I think the world was a very different place back then. And Richard begins with a sense of ennui about the world and sort of a weariness of the world. And the play takes place in 1935 with World War II happening right around the corner and fascism on the rise around Europe. And I find myself at 43, 10 years later, kind of feeling a sense of that. And one of the wonderful things about the journey that I get to take every night is that Richard discovers people. He discovers the reason why engaging is important and values that. And it's a wonderful journey to kind of open up from a place of despair or what is it really worth it to a place of all of this is worth it. And connecting with other people brings him out of himself. And it's a special story that I find very useful right now.
You mentioned that the playwrights have drawn on more than just the 39 steps of Hitchcock, but is the main thrust of the play, the framework, that movie we know?
So the play itself is pretty much beat for beat the movie, the Hitchcock movie. And we've got little homage and nods to other Hitchcock films and features in there. So that's just like fun little Easter eggs almost that you get to
cameos.
As I say, it is beat for beat the film. Saying that, having heard other people say that, I've never actually seen the film. But it is kind of like if you stuck the film into a blender with a Monty Python episode and then seasoned it with some of the Muppets.
I also came up with one that if you like Pink Panther and Inspector Clouseau
and Mr. Bean
and Errol Flynn, you would get Richard Henne. But I guarantee it's entertaining.
It's a fun romp. I'm enjoying, and it's not just the three of us. We have a guest artist, Keith Livingston, who's coming in from Philly, and he's joining us playing another one of the clowns, which is what I am playing. Mm-hmm. And I'm having a blast with him as well. He's one of the sweetest guys and very funny and makes me laugh. And everybody in the room makes me laugh, which is, it's really nice to laugh right now.
Is this a kind of a quick change thing? If you're playing many roles, do you run off stage and come back in a new costume or do you just take off a hat?
There's some of that and some of it is just hat switching. There's a sequence partway through the first act where Keith and I, between the two of us, are playing six characters and we're at a busy train station and we're just playing all these characters who are running around on the platform, and it is truly just like we are spinning and putting another hat on and changing our physicality and our voice. And there's a lot of dialect in this show, a lot of playing with accents. And so that's probably one of the most egregious hat switching moments. But a lot of it is we run off stage and appear in a new spot on the stage or elsewhere and in a new costume. And we are a new character.
Kimmy and Keith do a lot of hat switching, and then I...
A lot of running.
Yeah, how many characters do you play, do you know?
I want to say it's around 20, maybe a little more.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Aaron plays one character. Keith and Kimmy, I think, probably both play around 20-ish each. And then I only play three characters, so I get full costume changes.
Yeah.
What about the physicality between running off and on and off and on? Is there more, you use the word farce, is there any physical humor?
Oh, yes. We've got a really wonderful singular door that plays all of the doors in our in the show. And there's a lot of fun door slamming and coming in and out of that one door that is a free standing door and can move around the stage anywhere. So that's a lot of fun.
It's a singular door that is multiple doors at the same time.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think the spirit of this adaptation is recognizing that the scale of the Hitchcock film is really pretty sweeping. They begin in a bustling London street, and then a bustling London theater, and then he runs into the Scottish Highlands in search of what Hitchcock's MacGuffin of the 39 steps that sets everything in motion, trying to figure out what that is. Being framed with some violence that he ran away from in London. And so it feels pretty epic in scope. And then the fun of it, the sort of juggling routine, I like to think of it as sort of a juggling routine as well as a farce, is how do you give the sense of this epic film? And at times, that's really what we're looking for. It never feels small or scrawny. We're living up to the big thing.
Spinning plates.
Yes. And that's part of the fun, that the audience knows that that's what we're trying to achieve.
And sometimes you get into a scene and people are like, oh, there's more than four people in this scene. How do they pull this off?
Yeah, yeah. And that's part of the fun. So not necessarily trying to shrink the movie, but trying to live up to the epic scope of that movie.
And we know that Alfred Hitchcock was very interested in music, and he used music in some particular way to shape the story, sometimes diegetic and just the soundtrack, and we know some of those psycho scores and things like that. Is there any music, or is it musical in any way as a play?
Our sound designer, Nick McGaw, who owns and runs Endless Records and Books in Bloomsburg, and has sound designed for us many times, has pulled a lot of the sound cues directly from the film. Anywhere that he could, he did pull those sound cues from the film. So a lot of that is there. It's both diegetic and non-diegetic. There's definitely, I can think of one moment at least, where the underscoring is part of the joke.
Watching Kimmy try to play bagpipes.
Yeah, that happens.
Is this the first time you've picked up bagpipes?
Yes, and also I'm pretty sure these bagpipes don't function properly. I think it's not just me. I think, you know, I do have Scottish blood in me, and I like to think that I cook proper. I do my best.
Yeah, these bagpipes have been sitting around BTE for quite a while. Yeah.
I think the reeds need to be replaced.
Yeah, but and Kimmy is a very talented musician, so we dare not blame her too much. But I will say that not only are we taking music from the original score, Nick has sort of set himself the task of drawing all of the sound from the 1930s. So really trying to evoke a time and place. There's a richness to some of the recordings that he's picked that I just love. And I do know that we did workshop a couple moments with Amy and I, where we're letting some moments of silence between the two of us, where this wonderful romantic music sweeps in and sets the mood. So I trust Nick McGaw's taste for a lot of things, and music is certainly at the forefront.
And if it's a period piece, as you say, and the music is so important in creating an atmosphere, what about the lighting, for example? Does that serve you in creating a certain mood?
Again, we have a repeat guest artist, Haley Garcia Parnell. They this is their fourth show with us. She previously lit Sanctuary City, Ms. Holmes and Ms. Watson, and most recently Misery, and is a real talent at setting the mood.
And creating spaces with light.
And both her and Helena, our set designer, are collaborating. There's a significant piece of the set and lights where Helena's crafted these shadow puppets. So there is this sort of cinematic element of these full frames that it throws a shadow in one direction. And then if you turn it ever so slightly, it turns into another thing. There are airplane chases. There are
marching bands.
Marching bands. There are London city streets.
Moors.
The Moors of Scotland.
There might be even a little bit of a Loch Ness monster.
Yeah. Who knows if Nessie shows up? And all of that is rendered through these really gorgeous shadow puppet cutouts that Helena has crafted. So we are blessed with designers here. We take great pride in hiring professionals, and they bring really beautiful work in, along with our costumes by Jared Whitford and our props by Gregor Garlson, who is also the hand who builds the set.
We know Alfred Hitchcock, the director, but who is your director?
A friend of mine, James Ofalt. This is actually my second time doing the show. James did it with me the first time as one of the clowns alongside me, and has a very, very clear vision of this show and knows what he wants and has a very sharp eye for comedy and particularly in that kind of comedy rhythmic math world. Comedy is harder than drama sometimes. And it's been a delight to bring him here and have him work with us on his directorial debut.
And like Alfred Hitchcock, does he make a cameo appearance in the play?
He may make a vocal cameo appearance.
That's true.
Yeah.
Sounds like a tour de force, actually.
It's a marathon. We kind of get on the ride and we don't stop.
Yeah, I will say that coming at it over a decade later, I'm a different person for sure.
Aaron flips upside down.
More than once.
Several times.
Yeah. But what's interesting is Nick and I were actually, the sound designer and I were just talking earlier today about returning to it. And what's lovely about this play is that it's flexible enough that as a early 30s actor, it was very light and frothy. And coming back to it now at 43... It's interesting because it fits a midlife crisis as well. Like there's a different thing playing it. And it's wonderful because the play stretches in that way. So it is very funny, but it also resonates in really lovely ways as the world changes too. So hopefully it can be attractive to folks on a whole bunch of different levels.
And Amy has a real fun track playing all of the romantic characters.
Yes. Aaron and I get steamy in three different ways.
Do you have broad hats and things like that?
I think I have one hat, but I do have some very drastically different costumes for each of my characters. I have three different wigs. One character is in this very beautiful kind of art deco-y evening gown. And then, she's an international spy. And then I go straight from that to Scottish Moors milkmaid. Just a real down-home country girl in the Scottish Highlands. And then I go from that to the more run-of-the-mill but more main character that I play, who is a Londoner and is...
Classic stiff upper lip British heroine.
Yeah. So I really get to run the gamut, which is super fun. And I also get to do a 5-minute plank. So while I have the easier physical track as compared to the other three actors, they make up for it by first scene. I have to do a 5-minute plank.
Amy does a plank and then the scene changes and an entirely different scene happens while Amy continues to plank behind her behind the scenes.
And my abs are not 30. they fully feel 40 years old.
As we said, it's a very physical show. It's The 39 Steps, and it's a play adapted by Patrick Barlow from the novel by John Buchan and the movie by Alfred Hitchcock. We heard Amy Renee Byrne, Kimmy Moroya, and Aaron White, resident artists, ensemble members, and actors in the current Bloomsburg Theatre Ensemble production of the show. The show will run this weekend and next at the Alvina Krauss Theatre, 226 Center Street in downtown Bloomsburg. Shows are Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 3. For more information, bte.org. The 39 Steps, adapted by Patrick Barlow, and it will run this weekend and next at the Alvina Krauss Theatre, 226 Center Street in downtown Bloomsburg, a production by the Bloomsburg Theatre Ensemble. Shows are Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 3. For more information, on the web, bte.org, bte.org.